We're here.
Yes.
Are you here?
I'm here.
What's up?
I don't know.
What's up?
Just trying to love America as much as you do.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It's hard work.
Well, I love America.
I know.
I absolutely love America.
That's one thing I've learned about you during the quarantine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I found out during the quarantine that a lot of people hate America.
Is that what you think?
A lot of Americans hate America.
Oh.
They hate it.
I don't know if they hate it.
Well, they hate... I really do feel like one of the hallmarks of America is our industrious spirit, our ability to innovate our way out of any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, people hate that.
Well, I just was watching. I don't know if people hate that, Sydney. I was just watching a thing that was talking about, it was reporters in New York City. And they were like, you know, I walk to work every day and I see the people back at work. You know, yeah. The bank's open. The construction workers are working. Everybody's working. And this is, they're like, it's a mild civil protest, I think is what they called it. Something, a mild civil disobedience, maybe.
Okay.
Because, you know, New York City's not supposed to be back to work.
Yeah.
But he was like, but, you know, the police officers and the mayor, like, the mayor doesn't respect the police officers, so they don't respect him. So they're not enforcing this. So he's like, they're doing their civil disobedience as well. And he's like, that's just the thing about New Yorkers. They love to work. And they're going to work.
I guess where I feel like I am is I've been noticing how terrible we were. And I know you feel like I'm always... shitting on the newer generations of people, but I wholeheartedly believe that the younger generations suck. I feel like we are, with the way that we are telling our kids how to socialize themselves,
mm-hmm.
that method is breeding cowards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I was listening to one of the books, Dan Brown's book. I think it's like The End Is Always Near.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of his books that he's talking about like cataclysmic times throughout mm-hmm. history and how different people handled themselves in that time period.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about whether or not we have less brave people now than
right.
we had before.
Yeah.
Right. And so the way that he was trying to measure that was... how many brave people per 10 people?
Right.
Right. So he was like in the, you know, like, are we like 7 out of 10?
Yeah.
5 out of 10? I really feel like brave people per 10 people were probably somewhere around like 2.5, 2.
But if you think if you like split it between people younger than 50 and people older than 50, you'd find a lot more in the older than 50?
Most certainly.
Yeah.
Most certainly. I feel like, you know, when you start getting up into what would be considered our generation,
uh-huh.
you know, I'm thinking around like 5 out of 10, like half of the people.
Isn't like every generation, but like, wasn't like the generations before us like, oh, these younger kids, they're just cowards. They're just wimps. Like, isn't that how it always
goes? Yeah, because it was true.
Comparatively,
it's always going to be true. So it goes back to what I was saying yesterday. So it's inheriting,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So you know how they say that if a person leaves their wealth for their children, so their children inherit wealth, those children and the children of those children will blow that money within 2 generations.
Mm-hmm.
Hands down every time. If you don't earn it, you blow it,
mm-hmm.
right? So... as a country, we inherited wealth of character, wealth of bravery. You know, like what did we have to do? What brave shit did we have to do as a society to push us forward as a society?
Like in our lifetime.
In our lifetime, because in my opinion, this coronavirus quarantine should be it, and we're dropping the ball in the way that we're handling.
Well, then it's a worldwide epidemic, right?
I mean, most cataclysmic things that kind of have an effect on America are also worldwide.
Yeah. Well, we haven't had, I mean, we're the first, like, we've had wars, but we're the first generation. We're like the, what, like, like the generation that's coming up now is like two generations between away from like a World War II or a Vietnam. You know, it was like our grandparents, right?
Yeah.
That were in World War II, our parents that were in Vietnam. Like we had the Iraq War, but it's not the same scale.
No, it wasn't.
At all.
There wasn't a global thing either.
No.
Like those other things were global things.
Yeah.
So we haven't had anything. And here's how I know that we're starting to become a nation of pussies, right? This documentary is out called The Last Dance. It's about the Chicago Bulls' final season of their dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, they had three championships. Michael Jordan retired. He came back. They had three more championships. This is that sixth championship season.
Yeah.
And the way that people are... this documentary might just be called, "Hey, it's 2020. Is it safe to hate Michael Jordan now?"
Really?
Because that's all everybody's trying to do.
Really?
Not the documentary. The people that are watching the documentary and commenting on it later. It's like everybody is like, "Michael Jordan was a bad man." It's like, no, he was a fucking winner.
Just because he was so intense.
Like, we don't know what winners look like anymore. We don't know what it looks like to want to win beyond everything else right now. Because that person is selfish and should be quarantined. Like, he's triggering me. That person nowadays makes other people feel like losers.
Yeah, no, that's true. Like, and like we've talked about, this is like what they teach the kids in school. Like, if there's one kid who's like has an intensity that's like disturbing the other kids, you would tell that one kid to stop. You wouldn't tell those other kids to man up. Like,
no.
To like... You know, like that's him. You got to figure out yourself, you know, like that's in you. Why he makes you feel weird, you know, like you figure that out.
Yeah. Which back in my day was leave Sydney alone. He's minding his own business. He's not bothering anybody. If I go over there and say something to him, that's going to start him up. And now you guys are going to have a real problem. Okay. Just let him do that weird shit over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah,
you think we're killing weirdos? Like what happens? So what right now, like we know, so we were talking about it and I'm like, I'm trying to say, well, it can't be everybody, you know, like, so what's happening to that kid in school right now that's not being pussified or whatever you want to say, you know?
He's like, the outcast. He's the problem now. He's problematic.
Yeah.
Like if you don't adhere to like handling, like being a pussy, if you don't become a pussy, you are a villain. You're toxic. You're triggering. You know, you are actively just not being a pussy. You are that's considered violence in 2020.
Yeah. We don't like aggressive people right now.
It's not even about aggressiveness. It's but about people that are not pussies. But just that alone.
Yeah. But then we deem that aggressive.
Which is ridiculous. It's a neutral position.
Yeah.
Being not a pussy is a neutral position.
Yeah.
Right? It shouldn't be considered aggressive. It is. You're right. It's considered aggressive.
Yeah.
But it shouldn't be.
Like, how far, like, does this go? Is this the decline of our civilization? You know, like, is somebody else going to stand up to be what America used to be? But it's happening worldwide.
No, it's not.
You think it's
stronger here? Oh, yeah. The pussifying of the world is happening worldwide.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't matter to us. We're America.
No, it shouldn't.
And the reason why it's happening worldwide, why do you think it's happening worldwide?
Because it's happening in America.
Because it's happening here. And the world is imitating us.
Yeah. So how does, I want to know what happens next. Like, how does this cycle break?
We have to give the world something different to imitate.
Yeah.
That's what America is meant to do.
Yeah.
Like, when America was having a sexual revolution, the world was having a sexual revolution.
Yeah.
Right? Uh-huh. So what we got to figure out what to.
So I know the solution to this.
Oh, wow.
So it's this all ties in with women, right? And women getting more power and
this
stuff, right?
This isn't going to work. I know for a fact this isn't going to work, but I'll listen.
And, you know, and this also ties into we are also talking about how, you know, the written word is disappearing at this point.
Yeah.
Because we're communicating on social media, we're communicating with pictures, we're communicating with memes, like everything else.
And so the written word, according to the research that you've been doing, was what kind of brought down the goddess and brought down the matriarchy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you see an opening for women to slide in there and start gaining power.
I do.
Which is the problem.
But
the power grab is the problem. Go ahead. Because I would say that right now, the current way that the culture is based off of women.
Yeah. saying.
But go ahead. I mean, I don't want to. I want to hear it all.
Oh yeah.
Before I rip it apart.
Well, I just think that I just think we need the right female leadership.
The white female?
The right.
I heard what you said. A lot of little Freudian slips you've been making.
The
lately.
Right female leadership to step up and shape us up.
What does the right female leadership look like?
The right female leadership is a lady that will stand up there and look at the dudes and be like, stop being a pussy.
I would agree with that.
Man up.
I would agree with
Man
that.
Man the fuck up.
But right now we have the female leadership that we have right now is exactly what is the problem with girls playing with boys. Like when you're a little kid and you don't want girls to play with you because they ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's what women are doing now. Like women, like the same exact technique where they're just showing up everywhere going, that's not fair.
What about when girls are our home example, when girls are minding their business or building something and a little boy comes along and just like, destroy.
Yeah, the girls have to learn how to build shit back up. That's what women are supposed to do, right? Women build culture,
mm-hmm.
right? You can't complain that it's unfair every time somebody does something that causes you to have to do your job. That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. Yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of stuck halfway between wanting to be like, these people are ruining it, and then getting into my... like getting into my wisdom, because again, Two Jack Bros, we're about bringing people together. We're about showing that people with different ideologies can actually coalesce into a functional, healthy, communicative relationship.
Yeah.
Right. So that's kind of what I'm on right now. I'm ready to, because I'm not going to stop being annoyed with the type of behavior that has us in the position we're in now.
Yeah.
Like that behavior will always feel like cowardice to me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. Sometimes that behavior is going to be right.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not always going to be right with, we got to charge in and handle it like
heroes.
Yeah,
you're way too much yang.
Way too much yang.
You got a lot of yang, Sydney.
We need to. But here's the thing. It's like, it's not necessarily a balance because most things are solved with yang.
I don't know if most things
are
solved with yang.
I think yang is the answer.
No, I think that's part of the problem, too. You guys are out there yanging all over the place.
I think we need more guys yanging.
No.
We need more yanging.
Well, maybe I don't disagree. Maybe if you need more guys yanging and you need more women yinging, like we need to be like, okay, we're different and let's both build our strengths and work together and listen to each other.
Yeah, we women stop yinning. No more yinning.
You need the yin.
2019
and the
yang. Was no, the year of the yin.
But it's because there were too many guys that were like, I'm a yin too. I'm a yin too.
That's, you're right about that.
So they need to go yang, like stop yin.
Oh, you're talking about like absolute separation.
Not absolute. I'm saying let's embrace that we're different and work together and communicate. I'm saying let's yin and yang together.
Yeah. I love your impression of guys yinning. I want a yin too. That's what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So I'm trying to get wise about this thing. I'm trying to handle it with some sort of grace so that when we come out of this, we're not just blaming each other and being like, remember when you were wrong?
Right.
Now shut the fuck up. Now never speak again.
Yeah.
Right?
Because
that's kind of how I feel.
Yeah.
Do you, Sydney?
Do you feel like that?
I 100% do. And I don't want that to be the momentum, the emotional momentum that we have towards each other once this is over.
No.
So I'm trying to get into that mental state where I'm looking at everybody and seeing them as myself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you got to go back and relate this to the Avatar, where there's like firebenders, there's earthbenders, there's waterbenders. Like, they're not all trying to be the same bender. You know, they're different.
Yeah.
And the firebender embraces that, all that yang, all that like aggressive, dangerous chaos, you know? Everybody needs to embrace their own thing.
Yeah. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that that person that's embracing their own thing is you embracing that own thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because everything that any one person does is something that any one person can do.
Yeah.
Right. So to be fearful in a pandemic, like I have not been fearful during this pandemic, but everybody that is, they are me being fearful. Mm-hmm. Right. And mm-hmm. I have to kind of look at them and say, well, how do I handle my fears towards this pandemic? Like, how do I help me in this situation?
That's wise. I'll
it is
that.
Wise. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess I'm just trying to figure out ways to jerk people off. It's like, that's how I handle my stress. I just like when I get too amped up, I'm like, I need to just go jerk off and chill right now.
We're not having enough of that, huh?
No, well, it's just we don't have enough of like, okay, you have a problem, solve your own problem.
Yeah.
Like right now we have, oh, you have a problem? Tell everybody on Facebook. And then when somebody offers you advice, get that person canceled.
No, there is a lot of like, okay, you're scared, let's embrace it. It's not like, okay, you're scared, let's move forward.
Yeah, it's like we're going to have to solve this problem while you're scared.
Yeah.
If fear is what you have.
Yeah.
Like, we can't wait for you to stop being scared before we can start doing something.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what the scared people want. And the scared people right now kind of have a little bit more power in the mainstream power structure.
Well, yeah, because you get that one person that has the story that says, I was scared and they didn't do anything and they made my fear bigger. And then it's like, and you put that on the media and it's like, oh, cancel that institution, whatever didn't like respect their needs.
Yeah, it's just like with so many people, like, dude, it's and there's like no, so you know, P. Diddy, he fucked up with the black community a little bit.
Oh no,
did you hear about that?
No, black Twitter hate him.
Yes. Well, they're on him a little bit. I don't know if they hate him. I don't know if he's gonna be able to come out of this.
Yeah,
you know, but he did a video where he was just basically like, we're not going to vote for Biden just because he's a Democrat.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Yeah. And he's talking directly to the people. Like, don't do that. They're going to have to give us something. They're going to have to prove to us that they can earn our vote, not just get our vote because being a Democrat is grandfathered in to being a black person.
See, people need to stop getting mad at shit like that.
So, black people, you hear what she just said? This white woman is telling you how to be. Are you listening? Are you listening? But no, I agree with you 100%. But that's where we are right now.
Yeah.
That's violence. Him telling people to
use your brain and think.
Think for yourself.
Yeah.
That's where we are right now.
Yeah.
Every time somebody tells people to think for themselves, they get fucking canceled. That's scary.
Yeah.
We're in a very scary time. So, I don't know. You guys tell me what to think. I'll think whatever you want me to think.
No, you won't.
Yeah. So what else? What else is up? That was like kind of deep for us.
Yeah.
You know, for the beginning of a podcast.
Yeah.
That's usually some middle of the podcast shit.
Yeah.
What's up, people? We started.
Yes.
So what else is up? What's on your mind?
You want to talk about my bro feet yesterday?
Oh yeah. Yeah, goodness gracious. So we were fortunate enough to, while we were out in the woods, we just happened to bump into people that we love and care about, uh-huh, who were also out in the woods with their family. What a coincidence.
Uh-huh.
What a coincidence. So there was this ninja warrior kind of like I-beam.
Yeah.
But it was
above a closed road.
A girder, right?
A girder.
So it was above a closed road. So we posted up to our two trashy families posted up in this one area
on a closed road in the middle of the woods
with like hikers and bikers walking by us. Like, I swear to God, we like, even though we weren't, everybody that walked by us, they saw us as 10 people with no shoes on sitting on lawn chairs with our feet in baby pools. Just like splashing around, talking, holding a beer, you know, all the kids holding beers, yeah. Splashing around in kiddie pools.
Come on, we're all jealous of that.
Yeah.
That's like the best day. Really.
It is. We might not be jealous of the actual the actual event.
Yeah.
But that these people are so comfortable that they're doing that while I'm judging them.
Yeah.
That's what we're jealous of.
Yeah.
That's why. That's why. The dregs of society are the people we put on TV. You know,
we love their comfort.
We love them.
Yeah,
we love the worst of us.
Yeah,
we love the worst of us. And I'm pretty sure reality TV is blowing up right now, because you know, before the pandemic, one of the things that you would hear snooty dickheads talk about, well, me talk about reality TV. It's like, really? I'm going to watch people doing normal things?
Yeah.
It's like, now, yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to see people delivering mail right now.
Yeah.
Can I?
Yeah.
I just want, like, anything. Yeah. Anything. I would, like, I would watch a show of customer service people just being rude to me. You know, like me leaving over and over again without the thing I want to get there. You know, I would love that. That sounds so exciting to me.
Yeah.
But what was I just talking about?
How we were being the dregs of society.
Oh, yeah. We were out there being the dregs of society. And they had this very, it was load bearing. This.
Yeah. It was kind of random thing there, huh?
It was.
I don't know what they were building.
But we looked at it and was like, challenge accepted.
Yeah.
That thing wasn't bothering anybody. That thing didn't want to have anything to do with anybody. And we were like, we're here. We're here.
What can we do?
So bottom line is it was a really difficult. I mean, it's an I-beam.
It was 7 feet in the air.
7 feet in the air. It was. It was. We didn't measure it. It said 7 feet.
Yes.
Right? So, and by the way, the family that we happened to bump into out there was Tim Butterly's family from Dad Meat.
Yes.
So we were out there with our people.
Yeah.
Ironically. How did that happen? I don't even know how that happened. It's insane. So we're out there hanging out with our people, and we all do jujitsu together. Like the whole entire 10 of
us.
All of the parents, all of the kids, we all train with each other. And we couldn't wrestle each other,
no.
You know, but we also couldn't not be in each other's presence and not do feats of strength.
Yeah.
It's like, what are we going to do? Right?
Right.
Come on, universe. You put us together. What are we going to do?
Yeah.
So this I-beam became the focal point of our happenstance get together.
Yes.
And so we were trying to climb it. We were trying to climb this I-beam. And it's an I-beam. I'll put some pictures up right here.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of the I-beam. This is Ansley on top of the I-beam.
Conquered it.
She conquered it. So we were all messing around with it. We were like doing pull-ups on it on the bottom and stuff. And then somebody came up with the idea of possibly trying to climb it. I think it might have been Tim.
I think so.
Right? So we're trying to figure out how to climb it. Now, I'm a little bit of a master climber. I don't climb that much anymore because since we've been together, I've fallen off of many things and broken many of bones, like way too deep into adulthood. And it's just embarrassing going to emergency rooms with like twigs and shit in my hair and like a broken bone hanging out of my arm.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know what happened. Like grass stains in my face. It's just, it's embarrassing. Like and they're like, do you own a skateboard or rollerblades or a BMX bike or a helmet perhaps? So, you know, we're climbing this I-beam and, long story short, Ansley was the only one that could climb it.
Yeah.
You know, it was good, by the way. I mean, I'm not trying to take credit for it, but like, you know, me using my master climbing background to give you the exact right technique you needed to climb up that.
It was good technique.
That made me feel so good.
Yeah.
It made me feel so good. And make no mistake, I could have climbed it. It was terrifying. Like, so when you climb it, you have to get up the bottom, on the bottom, pull yourself up, get a leg up. Now you're upside down. You have both legs up. Now you're upside down hanging on this I-beam. So now what you have to do is stretch your body long and then twist your body so that this whole half of your body is laying on the I-beam. But
six
that's
inches
it.
Of the I-V.
That's it. It's
yeah.
Because it's not going to be this whole half.
No.
It's like this much of your body
yeah.
going that way. And that's terrifying.
Yeah.
Then from that position, you have to reach up and grab the top.
Yeah.
And then you can like pull yourself up and climb it. And dear God, that reach up.
Yeah.
Dude, I like just thinking about it now is making my butthole sweat. That was
insane. I know. And you have to commit to that reach. You're
yeah.
like, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If this grip goes.
And that's the thing. It was hard. I think it was hard for people to admit how scary it was.
It was very scary.
Because when Mary Jo, Tim Butterly's wife, when she went to climb it the one time, and she started to try to get to the other side. She was like, I can't make it. I can't make it. And it's like,
yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Just admit it. It's fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, I left, like, I did two attempts, and each attempt that I did, I left more soaking wet.
Yeah.
You know, just admit it's scary.
Very
scary. You know,
scary.
Like, we're all physically capable of doing, like, weird circus shit.
Yeah.
Especially that family.
Yeah.
That weirdly, like, they are, like, Cirque du Soleil with their flexibility.
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah.
you can do it, right? You can all do it. But it fuck is it. But yeah, Anthony crushed that shit. So yeah, how you feel about that?
I feel good about that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're out there making things happen, man. Making things happen during the pandemic. Yeah.
Figure out what you can climb.
Figure out what you can climb. Was there anything else you got? You got any teaching for us today?
I don't. I mean, this week we talked about it in the last one. It's been pretty hectic.
Yeah, it has been.
It was a lot of emotional ups and downs. Yeah. We fought the law. It was.
Oh, yeah. That, which is, by the way, a Patreon episode. I think we're going to have to record that again because we weren't. I don't know if we were in the right place to talk about it. That was our first time talking about it.
I know.
And it was, like you said, that was even emotionally up and down.
Yes.
So I think we need to talk about that again.
Okay.
All right, cool. So, but yeah, we had an encounter with the police.
With our Ainsley, civil liberties. Sydney had to stand up for our rights.
100%. Dude, I am that American. I get real American when it's time.
I almost pulled out my cell phone and started filming you.
Yeah. Yeah. Ainsley was worried I was going to get shot by a cop.
You were testing it.
You
found that line and you were like, my big toe's over it. It's over it.
Get the hell out of here. I stuck my ass over that line. I was like, yeah. What do you want, coppers? Yeah. Ass over the line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I was so the lectures that I'm listening to about the other side of history. So these lectures I'm listening to are talking about throughout history, the people that weren't royalty, the people that weren't all the famous people from history that we're typically hearing about. What were the normal people in society like at that time?
Right.
Pretty cool lectures. You can get them on Audible and they're pretty fun. Like, also, yeah, right now, Dad Meat is running an Audible promotion where if you sign up, you get 30 days free using the code FATBIRD, and that throws Dad Meat a couple dollars. I mean, we're going to reach out to these advertisers soon so we have our own thing, but we're not going to be like, well, don't use it until we get it. Like,
yeah.
Hook up Dad Meat with a couple extra dollars too. So these lectures, the guy is talking about what it's like to be like a normal person in the Greek and Roman military.
Ew.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's just, they all die.
Yeah.
It's just, it is like, they're all just fodder for death.
Everybody back then just died a
Both
lot.
Both sides of the war. Yeah. It was just a death factory.
Yeah.
I just imagine that you knew you won the war when you had two people left and they had one. Because yeah. That's basically what it was.
Yeah.
And it was the way that these wars were fought. They would be in a line. So they had these shields called phalanxes. I might be saying that wrong because I think everything's a dick back then.
Yeah.
So I keep wanting them to be saying phalluses, like they're guarding themselves with like metal dicks.
Yeah.
Like
on so the you picture it.
Yeah. So, and the way you hold it, you like half the shield covers you and then you can like smack around with this hand.
You can die on this side.
Yeah. But then this side of your shield protects this person's right hand.
Yeah.
So this person's shield is kind of like keeping me from dying on this side until they turn a little. And then
yeah.
Like, ah! So he's talking about that. And he's talking about how there would be times when, like if they went to war because there was such a lack of communication, when they went to war, they wouldn't see their loved ones until they came back from war. So that would be sometimes years. Like they wouldn't hear from or see their loved ones for years.
I feel like if you send somebody off to war, you're just like, let me start a new life.
Yeah, like right away.
Yeah.
Like right away.
the odds.
So that's what happened to his mom.
Whose mom?
Not anybody in ancient Greece, like the dude doing the lectures.
Oh.
He just throws in this real quick story as if that didn't need more explanation. You know, he goes, you know, and at times, these people wouldn't see their families for years during war. Kind of like what happened in World War II, when my father was in World War II, and my mother got a note back saying that my father was dead. Of course, he wasn't dead.
And of course.
Years later, when he returned, my mother had already fallen in love with another man.
Oh, geez. Oh, no.
Back to the Greeks. Like, what the fuck, dude? It's like, how did that affect your life, man?
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. That's the other side of history shit that I want to hear about.
Yeah, I want to know about that conflict.
It's like, what did that dude do? Like, what do you, like, how do you, because, again, such a lack of communication, he had to, like, go home and, like, open the door and see another man, like, being, like, familying with his family.
Yeah, do you get mad at the wife if you're a man?
I don't even know what you do.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because, like, how do you have the proper perspective in that time of your place in history? Right?
Like, you were dead, dude. You were dead.
Not just that. It's like, okay, it's World War II. You come home and you find that your wife started another family. And you can't be like, ah, well, I guess we don't have Facebook yet. There's no way for her to know that I was still alive or me to tell her.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's no.
Oh, yeah. It's you see what I'm saying? She should have known.
Yeah,
like,
there's no way. So, like, how do you
rationalize that?
How do you rationalize that?
Yeah.
Yet, still, the male ego.
Yeah.
And anger.
Yeah.
Still existed back
I'm
then.
I'm alive. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that had to be, goodness gracious.
That'd be tragic for the lady, too. Like, if you assume that she was truly in love with him, right?
Yeah.
And she had the heartbreak of dealing with his death. And then she rebuilt her life. And now, like, she still has love for him. And she's got to choose one of these men.
That kind of sounds like a modern day reality show.
Yeah.
Like a Netflix, a 2020 yeah. Netflix reality show. It's like, here we go. Her mistakenly dead husband just got back from the war. She's with her new guy. Who will she choose?
Yeah.
Let's see in a 10-episode series called Whoops.
That'd be intense, man.
Yeah. That would be. What would be some of the challenges that they would have to do in order to win the woman's affection?
Oh.
Because my favorite part about this series is kind of like next, like the last episode, she picks the guy and then we find out if the guy picks her.
Okay.
So for 9 episodes, these guys are just going at it. Not even because they necessarily want the woman, but it's like they're competitive.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to let this guy beat me in feats of strength. Are you fucking kidding me?
Well, I think one, like, on some level, as a woman, if a guy dies in war, you're like, you should have been better at war. Like, why did you die? You know, like, you shouldn't have died. Like, you should have come home to me. If you loved me, you would have come home. So they have to do some sort of, like, war battle to find out who would win this war.
Yeah, but you do know he's not dead, though, right?
I know.
Okay. But that is
he got
that
captured. Like, why do we think he's dead?
Typical
you know?
Of a woman.
He crawled in a hole. A like, what did he do? What this did is, he do?
I'm glad
make
you're here for this. Okay. I'm glad you're here for this because that is some woman shit right there. It's like, he's mistakenly dead.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, why did you die in the first place? It's like, I didn't die. They told me you were dead. That's not my fault. I didn't want them to tell you that. But they told me, so why did you die?
You better have some valiant reason for it. Like, oh, well, I stayed behind and I fought off 50 men, blah, 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 blah. And they just thought nobody would survive. Not like, oh, I ran off into the woods screaming because I was scared.
Well, I mean, or the other truth, which was, I found an Asian family. They were missing their dad. Their dad, I think, might have died in the war. I don't know. I just scooped up an Asian family. one of the competitions have to be like writing a letter. Like a letter from abroad.
Yeah.
You know, like a I miss you letter.
Oh,
you
know? Write the better love note.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
the better.
The more like emotion. Like, yeah, that's a good
My
one.
My dearest Abigail.
My name's not even Abigail. Yeah.
It's like, my dearest Yin. Oh, my bad. I was my Asian family. I'm so sorry. So sorry. Yeah, that's definitely one of the competitions. What else did people do back then? They wrote love letters. They went to war. That's all they did is write love letters and went to war. Man.
Yeah.
They had like
this. See who can impregnate her first.
I guess that's a good competition. But in that guy's story, like his dad won.
Yeah, because he. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean. I don't think they had paternity tests back then. During World War II?
No.
I think paternity tests are relatively new.
Maury Povich
knew? They came out. Maury Povich introduced paternity tests.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the 90s is when paternity. I bet you that's kind of true.
Yeah.
Like maybe not the Maury Povich thing, but I bet you paternity tests came around like the 90s.
Like at least like affordable ones. Like there might have been. If you didn't know DNA, you couldn't do it, right? So it came along with DNA discoveries.
Yeah, but maybe much later because I mean, that's, I mean, it's like an embarrassing thing, a paternity test.
Yeah.
So I don't know when they hit society.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I agree with you that it was the 90s. Because, like, before then, they'd be like, I don't know how many babies you have in there. Like, let's see how many pop out. You know, like, it was just kind of like, I don't know.
Because a man wouldn't want to know that his child belonged to another woman.
To another man.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah, so you paternity test all the kids to find out who they belong to.
So possibly impregnating. I don't know. How about...
it's got to take her out on one romantic date, like the most romantic.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I never seen the movie The Notebook, but I'm like, what happened in the movie The Notebook? Never seen it, but like... All those things.
You have to like run and get to have a fight in the rain, a real dramatic fight in the rain, and like a makeup love like an abandoned house.
So like she has to like argue like with him in the rain, and then turn and argue with him in the rain, and then sit down like which one?
And then there's a dilapidated house, and she has to pick one of them to go make love in the house with.
Yeah,
and then that they have to fix up the house.
So here's how she decides that it's which one of the, like, during that fight in the rain,
yeah,
like, who scared me wet? You know what I mean? Because that was, like, that was the thing that, at least pop culture and different things in cinema would make me believe that, you know, like, if you smack the woman the right way, she'd be like, ooh. You know what I mean? Like, you gave her a good pop, and she'd be like, oh, that's okay. Let's go start an American family. So domestic, a good domestic violence competition. Yeah. It's like one swift one.
Yeah.
Like who can smack her wet?
What is it? Is it like the old school times when like you have to do it without leaving a mark though? Like is it like, or like without leaving a bruise? Like you leave a handprint, but no, it can't bruise.
You only had to leave the mark on her heart. Who can just smack this woman's heart aflutter?
Yeah. Where they have to, the dads have to interact with the kids, but what do you want them to be like? Do they have to just like scare the shit out of the kids, or like what do they have to, how do they have to dad the kids? Because it's like back in the day dadding, right?
Yeah, it's tough because it would almost, it would be like, who can get the most out of the kids with the least amount of presence?
Like you only have 5 minutes to interact with the kids, and you have to see what like if you can get them to clean the house and set the table and like do their chores.
So you have 5 minutes to talk to them, and then you just go to the other room.
Yeah,
and then see how well the kids react for 2 hours.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a decent competition.
Yeah.
Right. So what else? What else? I feel like there should be like. Like something like we're like roughing up minorities real quick. You know, like a minority who catcalled your woman and you went over there and you showed him what for.
All right. Okay. It's like the most racist reality TV show ever. How many people could we offend with this TV show?
Yeah, this is a different time, Anzi. Yeah. This is a different time. Yeah, that would be an interesting thing to see of like, I guess in current times that would be hilarious to see too, where, you know, you're walking with your woman, and she gets catcalled. So in the 50s, in that reality show in the 50s, I'm walking with you. You get catcalled.
Well, you're not walking with me in the 50s.
Definitely not walking with you. I'm 10 steps behind you and your beau. It's like my avatar for when we're out in public.
Yeah.
So. A man's walking with his woman in the 50s.
Yeah, you can't call.
I let her know that I think that she looks swell. And then, you know, the husband is obligated to say something or come rough me up.
Yeah.
Right? Flash forward to 2020.
Yeah.
You're walking with your woman. She gets catcalled by a minority. They're still the ones doing it.
Something's never changed.
Never. Maybe that's because we're not taught that in the black community. We're not taught that we have a history of catcalling, so we are doomed to repeat it.
yeah, nobody's ever like, hey, you shouldn't. Did anybody ever teach you to catcall? I feel like the white people are led to believe that, like, your grandpa sat you down and taught you how to, not your grandpa, like the dude at the barbershop.
It's an uncle.
Uncle, yeah.
Your uncle teaches you down and literally teaches you how to holler at bitches.
Yeah.
That's from a distance. That's catcalling.
Yeah.
Like, we've, like, no black on black relationship has ever come together without catcalling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's how you, that's like, in the black community, if you don't catcall as a man, you're considered a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know why I want that?
No.
It's like he politely came up to me and asked me my name. Get the fuck out of here, pussy. I don't even know where he wants me to sit this thing. So it would be funny, though, in 2020, that same competition where you're walking down the street with a woman and she gets catcalled, and then the guy that's with the woman has to come up with 10 different reasons for why that was his culture. Like, that's the way he is. We can't say anything about that. We have to accept that he was born, you know, like, yeah, just like all those things. It's because of, like, white racism made them that way. Man, I didn't know how fun this episode was going to get, but we did it. Yeah. We're where we want to be.
Yeah. The racist reality show. Yeah. Reality TV show.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah. Back in that. Okay, so what would you call it? I mean, whoops might not be a good name for it, although I like it. But
yeah.
The get back, the comeback.
I was like, who do you love more? Yeah. Like,
whose man is this? Hey, yo, who man is this?
Because you've got a loud black host for the show.
It's like the comedian that me and Tim made up the other day, the fat black comedian that goes by the name Crocodile. Whose man is this? Chomp, chomp. All right, we're doing it. We're doing it. We're podcasting over here. So I think we're having a good time. I'm in a weird headspace right now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this is enough. I don't want to, like, feel like I'm forcing anything.
Okay. I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. So, of course, we're going to shout out. We got to figure out how to do these shout outs in a way that makes everybody feel like we're still talking about them without having to, like, take the time to talk about everybody.
So we'll just, like, say, like, broad things, like, shout out to all those brown-headed people.
That'd be funny if we, like, did a shout out for a bunch of different hair colors and left out red. And a good percentage of our loyal fan base are redheaded.
Yeah. I love the redheads.
A lot of redheads. Actually, like, when you have one redheaded fan, it's getting a little tedious. Like, how do we manage all these redhead?
You know who we're talking about.
So yeah, so we gotta figure it out. But I do wanna give a shout out to the Shat Nation family, which is all of the podcasts, starting with Matt and Shane's Secret Podcast, of course, but then all of the people who they scooped up in their umbrella of excellence. You know? You nice. Like that?
I thought it was going to be an umbrella of love, but I like an umbrella of excellence.
Yeah, umbrella of, hell yeah, excellence.
Yeah.
Excellence. So if you don't know some of them, like, just go to the podcast app, look up any one of these podcasts that I mentioned, and just try it out.
Yep.
I guarantee you will subscribe. So you got Dad Meat, You Fucked It, but it's like hashtag kt it. So it's like the U is a hashtag.
Okay.
And it's You Fucked It. So Dad Meat, You Fucked It, Oral Presentations, which is a history podcast by an insane, hilarious guy. It's great. You have Contact with Chris O'Connor. You have War Mode with Billy and Spud. And then, of course, you have Two Jack Bros.
Mm.
And is that, I think that's all of them.
Mm.
I think that's all of them. Mm. And, of course, shout out to our Canadian connection out there, Meg and Julian.
Yeah.
We got to give them individual shout outs. Like, so originally, she kind of got grandfathered into his shout out.
Yeah.
And now he's getting grandfathered into her shout out.
Yeah.
So that's pretty sick.
Yeah.
I love it. You guys figure that out. All of our jujitsu heads.
Yes.
Just all of the dogs, all of the champions, everybody that shows not just this podcast support, but all of the other podcasts that also strengthen this podcast. Because it's one of those a rising tide raises all ships kind of things.
Yeah.
So, and we're like a lifeboat out here connected to a cruise liner. We're just like, oh, we get to go up there too? yeah. So I think, oh, and of course, a shout out to our intro and outro music. You're listening to that right now. Circadian Clock, doing big things. Check out Melissa on her Tiny Desk concert with her famous cellist, violinist. Melissa, she rocks the violin. I always forget what her famous person plays, because Melissa's the star to me.
Yeah.
But anything else?
No, I think that's it.
All right, so we're gonna wrap this up. I think we'll re-engage this Patreon tomorrow.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And then look out for that. That'll definitely be up for the video before the video of this one.
Yeah.
Because I have to edit this one. Audio comes out before the video, whatever. We're also on YouTube, no big deal. Check out our Patreon. Probably should have said that earlier, but it is what it is. Thank you so much for listening. Peace.
Got you.